chapter 12, beginning with the 13th verse. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Here ends the reading. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 12th chapter of St. Luke, which has already been read. It started with ice cream. Ice cream. It was homemade ice cream. And whatever ice cream you think is the best, Whitey's, Smiley's, actually country style, homemade was better than that. And the ice cream was so good that his neighbors offered good money to buy it. And in 1952, refrigeration was coming into its own, and the man bought a truck with a refrigerated box, and he began delivering ice cream to his neighbors. And people in southern Minnesota really took to the idea of having their good ice cream delivered to them at home. For one thing, you didn't have to worry about it melting in the car on the way home. And the man bought more trucks, and he hired more people, and he started buying other dairies, and then he added juice concentrates. And soon his delivery trucks crisscrossed the entire Midwest. And then the man added things like frozen fish, frozen pizza, and his yellow delivery trucks with the bird on the side started showing up at schools and its products in grocery stores. Today, the company generates $3 billion in annual revenue, employs 12,000 people, and the Schwann trucks fill our streets and highways, and for many people, the Schwann man is one of their favorite people. Luke tells us that only one man of the multitude got an audience with Jesus, and that was no small accomplishment. Earlier, Luke had told us that myriads of people had gathered around Jesus, and I know what you're thinking, what's a myriad? A myriad is 10,000, and it's plural. Think of a Major League Baseball stadium, that many people, so many that they trod upon one another. Everybody wanted to get close to Jesus. This man was the one who made it and got that audience with Jesus. He pulled it off. And what does he do? What does he do with that? "Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus must have been thinking, "Are you kidding me right now? Jesus, my father died and my brother is the executor. Can you get him to give me more?" They never want less of my father's stuff. And it's our first clue that maybe this man has a problem with money. And Jesus rhetorically said to him, "No, I won't talk to your brother about your father's will." And then he says to them, the crowd, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness." And he's talking to them about him. And he says, "For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And then he tells them a story. I went to class at Trinity in Davenport last week. Dr. Weinrich was there from the seminary talking about John. Monday, Tuesday, half a day Wednesday, hung on every word. And I noticed how Dr. Weinrich was pointing the students often to one word in the Gospel of John. One word. Look at that word. And if you come to my adult Bible class on Sunday morning, you might hear me talking like that. Look at that word. And you might hear that also from the pulpit, that one word, that's kind of unique to the Bible. In the Bible, every word is the correct word, the best word, perhaps the word invented to be used there. This is the word there, this is not the word there. And the warning here is against greed is the word, or covetousness is another way to look at that. Not being satisfied with what God has given you, but wanting more, and wanting especially what God has given to somebody else. And you may recognize that as the 9th and 10th commandments. And what does that mean, to not covet? It says that a man's life does not consist in things. And that word there is not the word bios, from which comes our word biology. Not physical life, but your entirety. The entirety of your life, body and soul, your entire being. Who you are as a person, that thing, who you are as a person, Jesus says, does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. And tell that to a lot of Americans who think just the opposite. Life does consist in having more things than you need. He who dies with the most toys wins is not just a bumper sticker. For many Americans, it's a way of life. You are defined by your possessions. More is better for a lot of Americans. And then there are Americans like the man who began delivering homemade ice cream to his neighbors in 1952. And by the time Marvin Schwann died in 1993, the idea caught on. His company was very successful. And most people don't even know about the Schwann Foundation. Marvin Schwann was a Lutheran, and the foundation he left has given away billions of dollars to mostly Lutheran schools and other things. And now you know. Now you know. And another Lutheran, Curtis Fredert, wanted to be a doctor, but his father's health went south and he had to stay in Milwaukee to run the family business. It was malting, beer, involved in beer, and if you've been to Milwaukee, you know they do a lot of beer up there. And they made and sold a lot of malt. And when he died, he left funding for a hospital named Fredert Memorial Lutheran Hospital. They're working on getting the name Lutheran out of it. They'll probably accomplish that at some time. And it's a teaching hospital, several campuses, helps a lot of sick people. And I think it's the best hospital in the state of Wisconsin. And you didn't know that either. We don't know about those guys and people like them because some people take seriously what Jesus says about don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when it comes to charitable giving. And I don't know what Warren Buffett's pastor is telling him, because everybody knows about him and most people's charitable giving. John Stewart, he's on TV, he's kind of famous. I see on his Facebook he was telling about this good charitable giving he was doing, and I wrote in the comments, I'm sure he doesn't care, you have your reward. That's what Jesus said. You give things to be seen by men, you have your reward. And I mention those two Lutherans because I'm a Lutheran, and Methodist pastors can talk about Warren Buffett, and the priests can talk about Melinda Gates, and it's the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Christians giving money and things away for no particular reason except it's what we do. That's what we do. But to give it away seems like the obvious thing. You have to have it. You can't give away what you don't have. Those people I'm talking about had it. And it's no coincidence that they are all capitalists. That's our economic system, another invention of the Christians. There are a lot of them. Ken Bartlett talks about that in the Italian Renaissance Great Course. The CD's at the Bettendorf Library. You can download it or use your Audible credit. The 14th century Florentine Christians saw poverty in their city, and they wanted to do something about it. And they thought to themselves, if we have more capital, that's the means of production, we can produce more stuff. Why? So we can give it away. That's why they wanted more, so that they could give it away to buy food and housing for the poor, so that they could pay the dowry, so that girls whose families could not could get married and have families, and it worked. We are very prosperous, and lately capitalism, with help from technology and other things, has brought an estimated 3 billion people out of poverty worldwide. And a lot of us, all of us, can remember when there was a lot more poverty in the world than there is today. And looking at poverty and wealth around the world, I think that God gives the most to Christians because we're not perfect, but we know what to do with it. Give it away, like he taught us. And when it comes to giving it away, the more local the better, farther away from home, less efficient. The more short term, the better. Give people a hand up, not a hand out. We're not perfect, but the church is better than, for example, the government at doing that. And the difference is between Christians giving freely and the government telling you, you have to give this money and we're going to give it to other people. So the man who comes to Jesus wanting Jesus to get him more money is not giving it away. The opposite. The man's hoarding it. His life, his identity, who he is defined by money. And how do we know that? Because Jesus is talking about the man when he says to the rest, take heed and beware of covetousness or greed. For man's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. So Jesus says, you see this guy here? Everybody look at this guy. See this guy here? You don't want to be like this guy here. The parable is about a rich man, and he says that the word is the land. The land of the rich man brought forth plentifully, and that happens all the time. It happens a lot in Iowa. The word land of the man brought forth. And it's true. Without the land and all the things in the ground and water and CO2 and wind to move things around, nitrogen and amazing seeds. Sometimes we select the seeds. We choose what to grow. It works. It works. The land brings forth all the time. And yields are up. So he builds more bins. And that happens all the time. But evidence is mounting that the man has a money problem. Sometimes it's about the word that's not there. The word that's not there. And the word that's not there is the man with the great yield doesn't thank God. He doesn't mention God. He's making frequent use of first-person singular pronoun words, I, me, my, seem to be his favorite words, the opposite of caring for others. And then I will say to my soul, you've made it. Stop working. Take it easy. Maybe even party a little bit. It's never a good thing in the Bible to be called a fool like this man. And in front of the myriad of people, and the man in the parable dies that very night, and how much partying was he doing then? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. The money problem is not really about the money. The money problem is in looking at that money, looking at those assets, looking at those possessions, no matter how much or how little, looking at them wrongly as items to be collected, hoarded, used solely for one's enjoyment without a thought for those around us who are in need. That's what it means to lay up treasures for himself. Take heed, beware, don't be like that guy. Solomon started off well. The king Solomon told God to ask for anything you want. Solomon asked for wisdom. Good answer, and then he used it. But somewhere along the line, those 600 wives and 400 mistresses may have had something to do with it. Solomon kind of went off the tracks, and his family must have been a train wreck. How do you divide up Solomon's very large pot among a larger number of children? Solomon wrote the words of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, vain, towards the end of his life, and art just. He teaches at the Fort Wayne Seminary. He's writing the Luke commentary for Concordia. Dr. Weinrich is writing in John. Dr. Just suggests that the end of today's reading, this text, quote, suggests that the remedy for worry and anxiety over wealth is to give away one's surplus, and that one happens all the time also. Talked to a guy not long ago who said to me something like, Pastor, looks like I'm going to have money left over, and he gave it away. He's no longer with us, and he didn't take it with him. The man with the money problem had a father who may also have had a money problem. He had some measure of wealth, but he went in a different direction. He left his money to his sons, and at least one of those sons is contesting the will. Happens. And he wants Jesus to intervene, which means that the other brother was not budging. Both of the deceased, of the sons of the deceased, had the same money problem. If you can imagine that, both of them wanted treasure for themselves. Instead, Jesus says, be rich towards God. Not about being rich or poor, not about what you have or don't have, not about what you leave or to whom you leave it. That's not what it means to be rich towards God. To be an actual rich man, to be rich towards God, is to have faith, to believe, to be a Christian, to know and understand that God is the giver of all good things. And whatever you have, God gave that to you. He wants you to have it. Don't feel guilty about the things that God has given to you. And this includes salvation. Salvation. And in that sense, every Christian is the rich man. Every Christian is the rich man, rich towards God. Being Christian, knowing that we are rich towards God, we know what to do with that, don't we? Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.